This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of the award-winning Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, and MLB Manager 2018 for your mobile devices. If you want to know what Out of the Park Baseball and Franchise Hockey Manager are all about, it's so easy. Every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, our amazing community management team of TJ Lowerman, Chris Jardine, and Adam Burnett, they live stream on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/OOTPDevelopments, every Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, around 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern. Check them out. They're always doing lots of interesting stuff. They're running some franchises. They're doing community tournaments, all sorts of great stuff. And, of course, if you can't make it when those things are live, that's fine. We put everything on our YouTube page. So much great stuff for you to check out and interact with. You know, just join the community. We're having a lot of fun. It's Out of the Park Baseball 19, the award-winning game on the PC. You can get it from Steam. You can get it right from us at OTP Developments. You can get it on Origin Access. And if you are a Origin Access subscriber, you can just go play it right now. Out of the Park Baseball 19, of course, Franchise Hockey Manager 4. It's also available on Steam or right from OTP Developments. Check it out. Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, MLB Manager 2018. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Well, last week, Mr. Rich Grisham, we talked about the Madden franchise, the Madden Online franchise that I was going to set up for us, and how, in controversial fashion, we were going to be doing it with the arcade gameplay setting. And we gave our reasoning for that, and as we expected, there was some criticism about it. But I now have some results as I've put the league together, and I've played at least one game now in the preseason, and I've made some adjustments along with the arcade. And I'm going to tell you, Rich, about my experience with it so far, and how I see the outlook now and everything like that, and the changes we may make as we go, and whether I still think this is going to end up being worthwhile.
I can't wait to hear what happens. This is great. I'm excited.
All right. Well, so I set it up, and with arcade, I made some initial changes to the sliders. So we're on all pro and we're on arcade, and I set it to 8 minute quarters with accelerated clock down to 18 seconds, I believe, which is a setting I've always liked. And then I made a few transactions with my team. So I'm doing the Seahawks in this, because typically when I do an online franchise, I don't want to be the Seahawks. Like for our sim franchise, which I think we'll do, you know, a couple months down the line or whatever it may be, I'm thinking I'm going to be the Chiefs for that. I like to be different teams every year, different challenge, and try to build them up. I don't always want to take the Seahawks. For the last 5 years have been one of the top rated teams. I haven't really wanted to do that. So I went in, and I'll tell you, the first slider changes I made were to run blocking, which I upped, because we know running is kind of problematic this year.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And let's see, what else did I do? I up tackling, because we know in arcade there's going to be a lot of broken tackles. So I'm trying to minimize a little bit of that. I mean, it's still going to happen, but I'm trying to minimize kind of the ridiculousness of arcade, which we already said is not really that over the top to begin with. But I'm just trying to rein it in a little bit. So tackling went up. Pass coverage I put up.
When you say up, like how much up we talking here?
To between 55 and 62. So this is all experimental at this point. We're in the preseason. Right. So I also bumped pass defense reaction time, because again, like you've talked about, Rich, when you were playing on arcade and pro, which is a whole different story, being on pro, but you toss it up, in all likelihood, especially in single coverage, your guy's going to catch it. So again, just trying to rein it in. And what else did I do? QB accuracy, I put down a tad for users, but not CPU. CPU, I upped their pass coverage. I upped their tackling. And then I realized that even on arcade, we do get, at the very least, penalties. Because in that first game I played, there were penalties called, Rich. But there were only three of them, and they were all in the CPU. So I dropped a few of those things. I dropped false start down, because it's just kind of annoying. I left everything at the defaults, but I don't think it's going to get called very often. It's probably artificially down already since it's arcade. And there's a fatigue setting, and there's an injury setting. I didn't see any injuries, but it's there, so I wonder if we are going to get some injuries, because that was one of my concerns when we decided to do this to begin with, was if there's no injuries, if there's no fatigue, then who cares about depth, right? And who cares about team building and all that stuff? And so we're going to see if we actually do have some injuries, but none happened in my first game. So I played the first game, and this is on Arcade All-Pro with some of the adjusted sliders, like I said. I won 35-21. So I took a few lessons from that, and I thought the CPU was actually fairly competent, and this may be different than what you witnessed on Pro. CPU was fairly confident, with the exception of two really bad passes, but again, it was like, I think it was Jacoby Brissett in for both of them, so it was the backup quarterback. But they were fairly competent on offense, and so I was actually playing defense, unlike you, Rich. So I wanted to make sure that there's actually a bit of a challenge.
I'm fine with playing defense against, you know, in the league. I'm not anti-defense, but, you know, when I'm just having fun and want to bang through a season, you know, being able to play two games in the span of one, there's a lot of appeal to that, as I will talk about in a few minutes.
I didn't run the ball all that effectively. I think I may have averaged 3.5 yards a carry or something. So that was something I took note of. But again, it's the Seahawks offensive line, so I don't want to jump to too many conclusions after one game and after, you know, anecdotal evidence there based on one of the Seahawks' weaknesses at this point. So there was also, well, you know, like, yeah, a couple deep passes I completed. The thing was that most of the game, exception of the first quarter, was all the starters, but the rest of the game was backups. So I was maybe a little, it felt a little too easy to throw the ball around, even with Alex Magoo, who's Seahawks rookie quarterback, who was, I think he was undrafted or late, very late round, either way. And I was able to, I think he went like 15 for 20 for me for like 190 yards or something. So I'm going to probably, so what I've done, yeah, I've dropped the QB accuracy for users down to 46, maybe to get a little more accuracy, you know, make that matter a little more as far as starting quarterbacks. Should be fine at that, I think, on Arcade. We'll see, though. We're going to experiment a little more as we play more games. I want you to play at least one preseason game and give me some feedback. And from that first game, I upped the run blocking for both users and CPU a little more. It's at 62 now. Pass coverage, as mentioned, for users, I put up to 55. For CPU, I put it up to 62. Pass defense reaction to 60. Just to see if that... I just reining it in a little bit more, and the tackling at 62. So I don't know how much that's actually going to affect it. I'm going to play at least one more preseason game and see if I feel a difference. Because I think when you make minor adjustments on sliders and you're playing sim, you can see, you can feel the impact pretty quickly, even just from an adjustment of 5 or so. I don't know if it's going to have that same effect on Arcade. But overall, 35-21 on 8-minute quarters wasn't too out. Side, you know, what I would have expected in a sim preseason game necessarily. Now you often get lower scoring games in preseason because it's all backups, but for the majority of the game. But that was my first experience with Arcade and with these settings and everything for our league. I also went in and made a couple transactions for my Seahawks. I traded Earl Thomas because he's not going to play for the Seahawks again, so I don't want him on the roster. It feels cheap to me. So I traded him to the Chargers for a second round and fifth round pick. And I've got a couple other guys on the roster I'm hoping to trade before the end of the preseason rather than just cut. So that's where I'm at. And I know you are coming in the league here. I'm hoping you'll play a preseason game soon and maybe mess with you're not really a roster guy. But maybe we'll make some adjustments by the end of the preseason. We'll have to set our 53-man rosters anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning on being the Eagles and having whatever their closest to their actual 53-man roster is. That's my plan.
I like to sort of start, right? We get one starting point, and then from the day that we start, then it goes in whatever direction that it's going to go, right? That's one of the cool things about having these multi-season leagues. If we turn out to keep this one going, or, you know, if like you say, we decide to sort of start again with the sim league and do a few. But I'm going to start with whatever the Eagles 53-man roster is. I'm assuming that's something I'll be able to easily do. And if not, then I'll probably just have the CPU do it, because I don't think they would do anything stupid like cut Zach Ertz or anything like that. So that's all I'm going to do.
So from that first game, total offense. So I did sim a few drives, and one of them was actually, I think it was a 91-yard touchdown for the Colts. So Super Sim on All-Pro may be a little more, you may see a little more from the CPU than you saw on Pro, Rich. Maybe. Or that could have just been a once-in-a-ever-so-often thing that happened. But I had 298 yards of offense. The Colts had 317, with a large portion coming on that one play. I passed for 253, rushed for 45. They passed for 288, rushed for only 29. So now that again, that's just a very small sample size. But if the CPU struggles to rush against you, if you're playing defense, Rich, then I may look to up the run blocking even more. But yeah, we'll get there by the end of the preseason. I think we'll have a good idea of what, you know, more adjustments need to be made. Just to look, it's gonna slant to the offense, and I'm good. Fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Because then the defense is going to be about making plays.
And, that's right.
Hopefully the CPU can do it to us the way we can do it to them. That's the hope in the end, is that, yeah, we may be heavy on the offense, but hopefully the CPU is tough to stop too, if that's the case. And just trying to find that balance. Because what I really want, and we talked about this a little bit in that discussion last week, is I want those plays that you see in the NFL that you're like, wow, that you see in highlights, I want those to happen ever so often, but you know, not every play. And I think we're like halfway there on Arcade, where it happens a little too often, but it's almost more realistic than Sim, where you rarely see things happen that are out of the norm, where it gets a little stale at times. And that's been an issue with Madden for a long time. I think there's been better years than others as far as bringing in that uncertainty, that randomness that's true to any sport into a video game. And it's always a challenge, because if you bring in randomness and crazy things occasionally happen, then people think it's broken, because everything has to be playing the percentages and look, this wouldn't happen, but then you see it happen in real life and then you want that in the game too. You know, we didn't have an Odell Beckham catch or a helmet catch, you know, in Madden until it happened in real life. But if it had happened before those things, then people would have, you know, oh, this game is not a simulation. Look, real life is not a simulation either. So it's just, it's trying to replicate to the best of their abilities, but it I think sometimes it's a little too restrictive. And a lot of that is on the NFL themselves for not allowing a lot of creative freedom. It's, of course, football. They're trying to replicate it the best they can, but sometimes things you don't expect do happen in sport. And so that's what I want to see happen in our league too every once in a while.
Well, you know what happens a lot in my season that I've been playing on Pro Arcade, Brian? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of offense. Lots and lots of offense. I finished the regular season 16-0, just as I had expected after playing a couple of games. It took me a little while to get used to it. Not that I needed to get used to it to win, but just to sort of get used to the fact that, oh my gosh, I can just take a step back and throw it way up in the air in single coverage two or three times in a game and be successful once or twice, for example. And I can, get the ball and get Jay Ajayi the ball, and he can run to the left where there's a really strong run blocking tandem in my left tackle and my left guard that will open up a hole that will let him go through it and actually get 5 yards before he gets hit for the first time. Things like that, man. I had, and this has not been something like, oh, I'm going to play on Pro Arcade forever. I'm not. I'm done after this season. But it's just been a fun week tearing through the NFL with the Eagles and going 16-0. And there were a couple of games where it took me, you know, where it was a little dicey if I was going to win. But I never really felt like I wasn't going to win every game. A lot of the games I won by blowouts as well. So let me throw some numbers at you here real quick, Brian. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So I mentioned, first of all, I went 16-0, and I haven't gone to the playoffs. I just finished the regular season right before we started the show. So 16-0. Carson Wentz threw at a 74% completion clip, 243 attempts for 326 attempts, 243 completions, 3,662 yards, not a staggering yardage amount, 44 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, though, Brian. That's pretty good. Wow. And a 145.4 passer rating. Yeah,
11-1 touchdown to interception
never gonna
ratio
happen.
Is a little extreme.
It's a little extreme.
Unless
but
you're like Tom Brady or, you know, Drew Brees at its peak.
Well, it probably wasn't that.
Or at Foles when he, you know, what was it? The first year that he was in Philly.
Chip Kelly. Yeah. And it wasn't that. I mean, Wentz had 33 touchdowns last year. I don't know how many interceptions. It wasn't wildly out of bounds, but it was just all of those incompletions, the 26% of the throws that I didn't complete, Brian, all 26% of those would have been interceptions.
Well, that's,
I'm not joking. Like as I mentioned last week, I'm the same player. I'm doing the same thing. I'm calling the same plays. I want to do the same things. I want to run strong up the middle and off tackle. I want to throw lots of slants and curls. You know, and I'm doing exactly what I would be doing and what I did on All Pro, but I'm having just complete success. And I'm enjoying it because, again, this is an appetizer. I'm just having fun. For the first time in years, I'm just destroying the NFL for a couple of weeks. Jay Ajayi, 1,863 yards rushing, 17 touchdowns. The dude is in pro/arcade. He is an absolute beast behind that offensive line. He's unbelievable, just crushing people. By the way, one of the guilty pleasures with having Carson Wentz as your quarterback on pro/arcade, where injuries only happen when you like super sim, because I never had an injury happen when playing, but I had plenty of injuries happen when I was super simming. One of the guilty pleasures is that he is not only a great passer, but he's a great runner. So knowing he's not going to get hurt, and again, I didn't abuse it early on, but about halfway through the season, there were a couple of games where I just went bonkers with it. Mm-hmm. He actually rushed for 577 yards and 7 rushing touchdowns.
It's like a Russell Wilson type rushing season, yeah.
Yep. So, you know, just having a blast. Alshon Jeffrey was the biggest beneficiary. He had 1,305 yards receiving, 18 touchdowns and 68 receptions. Zach Ertz, 62 receptions, 771 yards, 8 touchdowns. So I just had a blast, and it was great. And I'm going to go win the Super Bowl. And then I'm going to, you know, then it's time for us to do our All-Pro Arcade, and I'll just go from there. So I know I'm probably not helping myself, but on the other hand, was I helping myself playing on All-Pro and Madden and barely scraping to an 8-8, you know, season and just having inverse stats? I mean, I wasn't 4 TDs and 44 interceptions, but I was on the wrong end of that equation in a big way. And both Wentz and Foles got injured for long periods of time. And Wentz is out for the playoff game. I still have yet to play there. So 2 seasons in the books, Brian, one on All Pro Madden and one on Pro Arcade. And boy, was that a lot of fun. And like I said, I'm going to finish it up and then we're going to start our online league. And I'll probably do a, you know, shadow offline All Pro Arcade. In fact, I should put it on whatever settings you have and go from there. So I've had a lot of fun doing that. And, you know, now I'm ready to be done. But it was fun for a season. But I, you know, once you go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl, like, you're going to just do that over and over again? No, you got to up your game.
Yeah. And that's hopefully that's what we'll have, is a little more of a challenge, and we're keeping the number of users low. But I wonder what the head-to-head games would be like on arcade. Kind of be interesting too. But I just want that kind of more open feel. Look, we don't have NCAA football anymore. You used to get that open feel to games in NCAA footballs, and maybe that's what we're going to end up with here. So that's the hope, at least, Rich.
And let me be clear. When I say those other 26% were interceptions, they literally just bounced out of the hands of the guys.
Yeah, that's more pro than it is arcade.
It's is it really? Because I tell you, they were right in their hands. And I'm pretty sure on pro simulation, a lot of those would have been picks. Because there were just all those throws. Every time I made it, I was like, oh, I mean, I'm amazed I got the four interceptions I did. Because I literally could have thrown 50. I have no doubt. They just bounce out of the guy's hands.
Well, it depends. I guess we'll find out. In the one game I played, I had two interceptions. One of them was a linebacker over the middle who caught a ball that was kind of behind him. It was a pretty nice catch. And the other one was a user interception on a deep ball that I caught. And it, you know, was an easy catch. So I didn't see anything blatantly dropped except CPU there may have been one questionable one that the CPU dropped that they could have picked off, but I was pretty careful with the balls, so I don't have a whole lot to go off there. So we'll find out. But at least my players caught the two bad passes that were thrown right to them. So we'll see what kind of catching happens. Like I mentioned, I think I have defensive reaction up a little bit and a couple other settings that may help in that regard. We'll see.
It is fun, though. Again, like a couple two. I didn't abuse really anything. It's by those numbers, it may sound like I abused it, but I just, you know, when you average 6 or 7 yards a rush and, you know, 11 or 12 yards per attempt passing, you just can't help but have numbers. But there's just a lot of satisfaction in 2 or 3 times a game calling a verticals and just taking 6 steps, 7 steps back in the pocket. Waiting for a second, getting good pass protection, and you see you've got single coverage with Alshon Jeffrey versus whatever cornerback it is or Mike Wallace, and just putting it up there and leading him, like purposely, you know, pushing forward on the left stick, leading him, not throwing it bullet, but throwing it with some oomph. And when they go up and they get it, I love that feeling. Yeah, it's fun.
That's the thing is I also had a couple of plays where I was able to step up in the pocket, move around in the pocket that would have probably collapsed on me on sim. And I was able to make a couple Russell Wilson plays, find a guy downfield with that extra time. And that was a good feeling because occasionally you can do that on sim with a guy like Russell Wilson. But I was actually able to take my eyes off the downfield to kind of navigate the pocket as opposed to trying to do it by feel. And that was kind of fun to finish off that way. But so I'm encouraged by the first game I played. It's just a matter of how we're going to make adjustments from here, Rich. So I'm looking forward. We can talk about next week what progress we've made in the league and progress we've made with the settings and all everything we've gone through so far. I know you wanted to talk about, before we move on to the news of the week, you had also, I think, MLB The Show story to share.
Yeah, so as you know, Brian, I have spent the year, or at least since MLB The Show came out, playing my true 162-game season. I don't know exactly the last time I talked about it. It may have been last week, may have been 2 weeks ago, how I was in a battle for the wild card because my Mets were not ever going to catch the Nationals. I was behind them really from the get-go. I particularly struggled in the early part of the season, and I struggled mostly because I had it on dynamic difficulty for hitting, which is basically the worst possible thing, because any success you have, you almost regret, because you know.
I've always had that problem with it. I feel like you're punished for being good.
That's exactly how I feel. Right. So every time I get a hit, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just got a meaningless 2-out single, which is not going to help me, and now my difficulty is going to increase. So I ultimately for a while put it on rookie, because remember I'm playing on the treadmill, right? So I'm playing all of these games on the treadmill, and I'm player locking for the first 3 to 4 at bats with Yoenis Cespedes, who I played with all year long. He was the guy. He played 162 games. It's clearly impossible, right? Yoenis Cespedes has never played 162 games. He will play, I don't know, 20 games this year. He's done. He's out for the year and has been for a while, just like every single other player on the Mets. So, and then ultimately I settled on veteran. After I got enough at bats to where I felt like I was going to be okay, not good on veteran, but okay on veteran. So I made it all the way to the end of the season. and I finished tied with the San Francisco Giants for the wild card. And I presume because of head-to-head, I didn't even check. I just hit the button to advance. I wound up playing in San Francisco in the wild card game.
All right.
I was going to stream it, but, you know, my schedule, it's very difficult for me to know exactly when I'm going to get a chance to play and all that stuff. And I didn't want to wait too long. So anyway, last night I just sat down. This was not on the treadmill. I just sat down before I went to bed and played the full 9-inning game against San Francisco. It was Jake DeGrom versus Madison Bumgarner. And I won 3-0 thanks to a Yoenis Cespedes, a 431-foot home run to dead center field.
Nice.
And a Jake DeGrom shutout, complete game. I don't play 9 innings very often, but it's a very different experience than when you play 4 innings or 3 innings or even 4.5 innings, because I am obsessive about pitch count when I'm pitching. So I was going crazy trying to make sure every pitch counted, because conversely, on the other side, I was obsessive about taking as many pitches as possible from Bumgarner, or at least making him work and not just doing the swing on the first pitch every time. So I hadn't played a full 9-inning game of the show for a long time. And it was really just, But that sort of, because I used to play that way, you know, years and years ago. And that it was interesting how that just sort of kicked back in. I was not very successful. I mean, it was nothing until the fifth, and Cespedes, I just got one. And it was not a good pitch. He just put it right down the middle, and I just got up and got it. And then I got another one on like a double and a sacrifice and another sacrifice in like the seventh inning. And then I got a Jay Bruce home run in the ninth inning. So it was intense, and I made it. I won 3-0, and now I go up against the Los Angeles Dodgers in the playoffs. So again, a little bit of numbers for you. Remember, I player locked. I didn't take every single Yoenis Cespedes as a bat. I'm sure there were 5 to 10 I somehow missed somehow, but virtually every at bat I took for him. And again, this is played over multiple difficulties over the course, right? Sometimes dynamic, sometimes rookie. Sometimes veteran, all on the treadmill. Cespedes hit .285 with 19 homers and 99 RBIs. Couldn't get the 100th RBI.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good line, though.
I'm happy with that. And again, that was all over the map on the difficulty, right? It wasn't all veteran. It wasn't all rookie. It wasn't all dynamic. It was probably 33% each, now that I think about it. Maybe a little more rookie, because for a while I was so frustrated. And I'm like, you know what? I'm on the treadmill. I want to have fun. I'm just going to put the hitting on rookie. Again, the pitching was always veteran. And it's not fair to me. Pitching is not fair in the show, anything above veteran. You just, even if you don't, like if you make a mistake, you're done. But even if you don't make a mistake, you're still punished. It's just not fair. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. Yeah, I'm glad I play. I mean, that's a lot of baseball to play, 162 games, even when you're only playing, you know, 44% of them. That's still a lot of baseball. And it's a lot of miles walked on that treadmill. You know, basically, I get 2 games in 46 minutes, which is 2 miles. No, sorry, 3 miles. So, you know, that's a lot of miles, thanks to MLB The Show and my treadmill. So I just wanted to mention that was a lot of fun.
I can't do any physical activity here right now because of the air quality. I don't know if you've been following the news, but there are so many wildfires in the area, north, south, and east of us. And I tweeted this out yesterday.
I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an app that you can get that tells you how the equivalent of how many cigarettes you're smoking because of the air quality. Yesterday I smoked, it ended up telling me I smoked 8.9 cigarettes yesterday, and today I was slated to smoke 8.5. I've never smoked in my life.
Right.
Now I am an addict, Rich. Mm. How does this happen? My life has taken a very dramatic turn for the worse.
Well, we haven't had
rain in like months, and you really need that to clear the air out, and there's none in the forecast. I want to know, when can I breathe again?
Well, that's nothing I can say other than you just you got to hope you can kick that habit soon.
I know.
I mean, doesn't it rain there all the time? Like, it,
not in the summer, man. Not in the summer. No? We sometimes go months in a row without.
Okay.
Last year we had like 60 some days straight without rain. I think we may have had one day with rain in the last like 50. So it's, yeah, it's, the situation here is not great. Like, sorry, you cannot, you go out of the house or anywhere and it looks like you'd think it was fog. Low visibility, it's smoke. Like, it would be bright, like a clear day with sun and like 90, but it's like 83 with smoke.
I'll be in Seattle in a few weeks for,
what? You didn't tell me this.
I just found out, like, literally today. I'll be there in a couple of weeks for 1 to 2 days, like sort of a quick trip, but A, hopefully by then it will have cleared up, and B, hopefully I can connect with you and Ryan the Lou and all of our other Seattle-based friends.
Yeah, I won't have to wear any mask to filter out. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are. It's that bad. Well, okay, enough about my health and the air situation here. We'll go back to Madden briefly and talk about the patch. Rich, there's a major patch. It's the first one post-release. There was one considered the, you know, quote-unquote day one patch for Madden that had a lot of stuff relating to feedback from the beta. This first patch for Madden that's post-release it includes a lot related to feedback that came once people started playing with EA Access and then a little time with the retail game before they could turn around these fixes and additions and everything. The highlights of the patch were, so this was mentioned in my review, that when players got injured, you weren't alerted to who was injured or even what team the player was from. That's when it was off ball. If it was obviously it was a running back, you could tell because the camera would focus on him. But off ball injuries. So now there is a little banner that pops up that says who's been injured. So that's a good fix there. They changed the hit stick, which is interesting. So the formula now for a hit stick just uses the hit power rating versus the ball carrier's break tackle rating. What used to be factored in was the strength rating, and they took that out. So, in theory, this should better differentiate players who are known for big hits or who can deliver big hits from just players who are strong. So, the idea was that, like, defensive linemen, very strong. You take Ndamukong Suh, strongest player in the game, he would have a wicked hit stick, which defensive linemen generally don't get to wind up for a hit stick the way, like, a safety does, a Cam Chancellor would have in the past. Chancellor used to be the highest hit power rating. He had probably, arguably, the best use for a hit stick was with him. So that's a interesting change there that we'll have to see how it affects things on the field. They adjusted dropped passes with possession catches. I don't know if you noticed this, Rich, during your play, you wouldn't have on Pro and Arcade, but on Sim, and I don't know if I noted it in my review, but there were definitely a lot of dropped passes, especially with guys over the middle who were contacted by defenders. Now, you want some of those, if a guy gets his hand in or breaks up, you know, makes it difficult to make the catch. But there were, even with really good players, they were just dropping them, and the animations didn't really make you feel like it was warranted. A few other, you know, quite a few things. Those are the biggest. What surprised me the most is that they did nothing for what I thought was the biggest gameplay issue, and seems like, based on other people I've heard from, they consider it to be that too, is that there was nothing done for the awareness at the sideline when trying to make a catch. And I had this happen in the preseason game that I played, even on Arcade, was I threw it towards the sideline. It was a deep pass, well, medium pass, and it was a tight end streaking towards the sideline. I threw it to him, plenty of space, didn't even attempt to get his feet down. He, one foot down in bounds, the other just like in stride came out of bounds, and that was a third down. So that was disappointing. They don't attempt to make the catch. They don't try to get both feet down, even the high rated players, which I mentioned in my review, which was like I saw Antonio Brown not even try to make catches on the sideline.
You know, I was thinking about this when this happened to me, because it happens to everybody. If you throw into the flat to certain receivers running certain routes, they don't stop, even when there's nobody within 5 yards from them. Mm-hmm. And this has been happening forever. And I was thinking about this. I literally, I just finished the book called Blood, Sweat, and Pixels by Jason Schreier. I don't know if you've read it. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Yeah, I've seen it, but have not read it.
It is a very breezy, entertaining read of 10 stories about 10 video games and how they came together, or in at least one case, did not. Fascinating across all sorts of different games, different studios, different publishers. Great read. And reading that makes you, even if you're not already, it makes you appreciative and understanding of all of the different systems and people and things that have to happen to make something work. And everybody that works on these games knows the problems even more than the good things. And they all want all of the problems to disappear. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. It just must be, and this must be an impossible problem to solve. But for whatever reason, because it's been a problem for so long, and it's so obvious now.
It's been a problem, Rich, but there have been years where it's been better.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. If you say so.
There have been Maddens where we really didn't have to worry about the sign. Now, what you're saying is like a swing pass to a running back. Okay, yeah, I don't know if
or
you've ever...
Or a tight end.
Yeah,
tight ends,
yeah.
I have this problem with tight ends all the
time. Totally. But I'm talking about, like, those have probably been an issue all along. But the downfield passes towards the sideline, guys streaking toward the sideline, usually you would see an animation, at least in some Maddens, where they tried to get both feet down. And sometimes they would, and sometimes they wouldn't. But there was the attempt at it. Now, it's almost like that particular animation or that set of animations with sideline awareness are just gone. I don't know why. They're just gone. There used to be those animations, so I don't know what, but I thought they would do something for that. That's my takeaway. I mean, it was a good patch. There's a lot of good stuff in here. But,
right.
I was just surprised because that, it's not just me. It wasn't just in my review. I saw it other places, and I definitely see people with that feedback, whether it be on Twitter and Operation Sports and Pasta Padre, it doesn't matter. That's definitely still a major issue because it's something you see and you can get screwed on. You may get the benefit of it when you're facing somebody else or the CPU, but it's tough. It's very frustrating.
Of course it is. And I guarantee you no one is more frustrated than the development team, the Madden development team, because you know they know it. And when I say it must be impossible to fix, there must be just some combination of math and the polygons and animations that just make this a problem that they can't get right because of the underlying code or the engine or the technology. Because, again, if we notice it, you know they notice it.
Oh, they have to. Yeah, they had to know well before release this.
Exactly. So, like, it must literally be just because of the other things, because whether it's memory, right? Because, you know, when you're on the sidelines, you're rendering more because there's people on the sidelines and you need to fill up the memory bucket that much more, or whether because it's just the way that you can, you know, make the player animation turn around and speed, you know, because some of these guys are big and slow and some of them are quick and short and fast and light. And again, it just must be this combination of things that if they made this work, it would fundamentally break so many other things that they just can't. Again, I don't know.
you would have sideline catches being made all over the field.
In the middle of the field,
you know.
But again, like, it's clearly something that these guys recognize, and for whatever reason, it's just the way to make it work, it just doesn't overall work with other things. That's the only thing I can think of. And again, that, you know, I know something about video game development. I know a lot more now in the last couple of 3 years, but still I've not worked on a AAA, you know, sports game that has all of the stuff going on that a Madden does. So, you know, I guarantee you, if you got the guys responsible in a room and huddled around it, they would tell you exactly what's happening and why it's happening. And if they adjusted this, what would happen, and that, and what would happen, you know? And it would probably be really interesting too.
So let's move to the next big news of the week, Rich. And that was, we had talked about last week. We knew some things about upcoming games. We don't know everything about upcoming games, even ones like the NBA games, which are only a couple weeks out. Well, we got the what we've really been kind of waiting for, which is one of the biggest features. Technically, it's the most popular way to play NBA 2K now, and that's through its career mode. It's career mode, not just the story, which is what we'll be talking about now, but within its career mode is all its online team up, and the park and everything that uses your created character. It's all within that My Career. And so that's so popular. Now, we wanted to see, where is your character going to start? How are they going to reach the NBA? A lot of questions still unanswered about how are you going to progress them? Has the formula for virtual currency changed? Are you going to start with a higher rating? Or are they going to keep you artificially low so that you feel the pressure to spend or grind? A lot of stuff we don't know, but what we do know is the trailer and one piece of information, which we find very, very positive information. And so we got the trailer, and my first reaction was, yeah, corny at spots, but it's got, okay, it is way tremendously better looking than last year's story, where you began as a DJ and got called to try out for a team, and it was just, and you had a horrible sidekick, and you couldn't skip cutscenes, and half of the cutscenes were just advertisements for companies that paid to be in the game, and oh, it was just terrible last year. This one looks a whole lot better. It's got some big Hollywood names like Anthony Mackie. I also like Ricky Whittle, Aldis Hodge. It's got some other names where you're like, why? I don't know we really needed Haley Joel Osment, or certainly didn't need Michael Rapaport, but it's got credible actors as usual. The production value I would expect to be very high. 2K is great in that area. And most importantly, cutscenes are skippable this year. This has been a complaint for fans for really since 6 years ago when the story mode started in NBA 2K, that you were forced to sit through everything, and a lot of it was just a waste of time. It also meant that you had zero incentive to start over with a character and play, get a fresh start and build someone new up, because you had to sit through so many scenes that you just wanted to get out of. So what are your thoughts on the trailer, Rich? Because it begins, it starts you, you're going to start, here's the synopsis I'll read. Begins you at the center of experience of a hoops player with NBA dreams working to succeed in the Chinese Basketball League. So it's taking you international here. As you develop skills and gain recognition in China, you return stateside to play in the G League. So there's a new way to play here also, not just China, but in the G League. And it says, through your hard work and perseverance, you're going to get a chance to play in the NBA late in the season when a roster spot opens up. So they're going, it almost seems like, now he didn't play in China, but it almost seems like it's inspired a little bit by Andre Ingram of the Lakers, who has played in, I think at the time it was the D League, last year it was the G League. He also played overseas, I think in Australia, briefly. And then, of course, he was called up to the Lakers late in the season and made a splash, and it was a cool story. I don't know if it's coincidence, but the player in that you're controlling, they always give him a nickname. At least this time it's AI, which I don't know if that's based on Andre Ingram or not, or if it's just a coincidence. But they call him AI, which is kind of a weird thing because, look, AI is a pretty popular nickname for
AI is Allen Iverson.
Yeah, it's a
AI is,
yeah.
In the NBA, AI is and will always be Allen Iverson.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody coming into the league would actually be called AI now, or at least that people would, you know, make that the nickname that sticks. I don't know. But yeah, so that certainly came to my mind also, Rich. What are your thoughts on the trailer that you watched? Because I forced you to watch it.
Well, no, you didn't force me to watch it
at
all.
Well, you don't watch trailers, Rich. You told me you don't watch trailers.
I Brian, that trailer was capital G-R-E-A-T, great.
You're very enthusiastic about this. I wasn't sure what your reaction would be.
Fantastic trailer. Brian, this trailer drips with the GTA trailer vibe, and that makes complete sense because Take-Two owns GTA, and it owns Take-Two and the NBA 2K series. This trailer was fantastic. Two minutes of a trailer is a long time, and that thing was great from the very beginning to the very end. I love how they did it. I love the setup. I'm completely interested. I have no idea, Brian, if the actual mode itself is going to be great or not. I have no idea, right? I mean, obviously, I didn't even play the mode last year. All I did was play my GM. I did play the story mode a couple of years ago. Didn't love it. It was the first year one that I had fun with it and sort of taking it for what it was.
Right.
So anyway, it's been a couple of 2-3 years since I played it. I'm absolutely going to play this not because of the trailer, but I'm completely excited. It was terrific. The visuals were fantastic. The voice acting was great. The story was, the setup to the story was interesting. Everything about there was, I laughed out loud multiple times where because of the what was happening was funny. I'm not going to sit here and say that it was the most incredibly dramatic thing ever, but it was, again, it was a GTA type of trailer for whenever they, typically launch, a Grand Theft Auto or something. It was fantastic, incredibly well done, very compelling, took all of the different things that. It just took a lot of different things, put them together, and got me excited. Again, I just thought the trailer itself was fantastic. Super impressed by it. And I was not expecting that at all. So I was very happy with
it. Now that you mentioned it, as I think back to the couple times I watched it, it really does have that GTA style, the way it's cut.
Absolutely. The whole thing.
And the music.
Yes.
It does. It is very reminiscent of some of the GTA trailers, now that you mention it.
Which I think there is smart. Like I'm sure that the people who are in charge of this stuff collaborated. Whether they have or haven't done it before. Well, right?
Look, I hope it's more than just that. I hope that the story is more grounded. Almost all of them have been kind of absurd. And look, they're trying to make it fun because if you make it, it's just not the whole grinding aspect of it. They're trying to break that up.
Who knows? Again, the execution may or may not be great. That certainly remains to be seen. But as far as a trailer and putting something compelling in front of people, that was very compelling. Whether that was for a video game or a Netflix series or for a movie, what they put out there over the course of the 2 minutes was very compelling to me.
Yeah, and I like Anthony Mackie, so that's cool to have him in there. Brings a little more credibility to it. We'll get the first chance to try it, Rich, to get started. It said the first chapter. I don't know how long that'll be. Probably like 15, 20 minutes. But that's going to be in the prelude, which comes out on the 31st. So there's a lot to look forward to. We have the NBA Live demo later depending on when you're listening to it.
A couple days, right?
Yeah, the end of this week, Friday. Then we have
demo, but not the full game. Full game's not out for a couple more weeks, right?
No, that's not until September 7th.
Right.
And then we got the Prelude on the 31st. Also got Pro Evolution Soccer releasing next week. So that will be a lot of fun coming up. There is a whole lot of stuff coming up within the next few weeks, within the next month. It's going to be exciting. And then one more piece of news this week, Rich. Actually, well, we'll have two more. This one is specific to sports games. So we got kind of the resurrection of MVP baseball talk, which happens every couple years. This was a story on IGN. They had an interview with EA's executive vice president. And the quote is that, "I would love to have a baseball game in our portfolio. It's something that, once again, every couple years we take a look at and we talk about and theorize about what it might look like to get back into something like baseball." Now, the piece from IGN, maybe not so well researched, says EA's last baseball game was MVP Baseball 2005. That's not true. If you want to say it was their last MLB game, that's not even necessarily true. EA had, of course, the two college baseball games that followed in the 2 years after MVP Baseball ended. They've also had MLB games on Facebook for a couple years, and they've done a few other things off to the side, but obviously not on console. They haven't had MLB since then. But this is something that comes up, and it's a little frustrating from my perspective to see it covered like it's news, because this is almost word for word what they've said every couple years or whenever they're asked about MVP Baseball or bringing back the MLB license. Ever since, you know, for the last decade plus, this has been kind of the quote going back to Peter Moore's days, where I interviewed him one time. This is probably like now 8 years ago or something. And it was basically same answers. We'd love to have baseball, just a matter of whether it makes sense. So I wanted to talk with you, Rich, about, again, because I think we've had this discussion once or twice before, whether it would make any sense for EA to get back into baseball, given the current situation. Tell me your thoughts first, and I'll explain my frame of mind here.
Well, sure. And let me table answering that question for a second and first say that, of course, he said it because he was asked the question, probably, would you like to have a baseball game? And of course he would like to have a baseball game. What's he going to say? No, I don't want a baseball. I mean, for crying out loud, he's Cam Weber, who is a hugely influential executive in charge of most, if not all, of EA Sports' games. You ask somebody who that's their job if they want baseball, of course they do. Of course he does. Anybody would. It's Major League Baseball.
They would love every sport, especially when we get into the idea of having a subscription service where they can flesh it out.
And that's the difference today, Brian, is that changes everything. So as EA and, you know, moves forward with continuing to make their subscription services in whatever shape they take, whether it stays as EA Access or, you know, whether it all merges into one big EA Origin or Origin Access, or whether they can continue to have, you know, multiple services across multiple things. The biggest reason for people to subscribe to a service is content. Content is king, whether it comes to Netflix or your cable provider or Hulu or Apple Music or Spotify. You basically, any of us as consumers, want to go to one place where we can get the most entertainment. So unlike 5 years ago, when a subscription service was not a thing, the only sort of way to get an ROI on a baseball game was, how much is it going to cost to license and develop, and then how many units am I going to sell? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that went from that equation plus how much more additional Ultimate Team revenue can I make, which changed the equation. Mm-hmm. And now it's, wait a second, I don't have to sell any units. If I just have content on my subscription service, I can get more people to spend money on the subscription service with, if you get the right number of people, is actually winds up being more lucrative than selling games for multiple reasons, right? Not having to manufacture things, sort of taking the middleman out, owning all of the IP and all of that kind of stuff. Plus you factor in Ultimate Team additional revenue on your own platform. Again, no middleman, not having to pay as many third parties, like that makes it more plausible for EA to want to get back into the baseball game. The biggest issue, as we know, is the barrier to entry. To create a PlayStation 4 / PlayStation 5, you know, next Xbox worthy AAA MLB baseball game will take a tremendous investment of time, people, money, and technology. Tremendous. Who knows what? I mean, you know, maybe they have a great idea what that would be. Maybe they don't. You know, that's the from where I'm sitting, the big unknown. You know, what is that initial sort of investment going to be? It's going to be huge no matter what it is. Massive.
So I do think, like you alluded to, I do think with what we're seeing happen, the trend towards subscriptions and EA Access and now EA Access Premier on PC, and the idea that they will have new games, or there will be a tier for new games.
Origin Access Premier?
What did I say? EA Access Premier?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Origin Access Premier.
Just making sure it's clear, because by the way, Out of the Park Baseball, available on Origin Access and Origin Access Premier. Just mentioning that.
Yes, yes, it is. So what that does is it does open them up to, look, the more games they can put in there, especially ones that have revenue-generating mode, like Ultimate Team, would make a whole lot of sense for baseball. You get people hooked in, you're paying $100 or $150, whatever it might be, for on a console for a year. You're adding content into there. You got to get people a reason to pay the subscription. And then once you've got them in, they can spend money, additional money, on Ultimate Team, hopefully. The problem right now is still that they don't have EA Access on PS4. So baseball, when you talk about barriers, Rich, not just to development, the barrier has been, where are baseball fans? And baseball fans right now, they play MLB The Show on PS4. It's been long enough now that anybody who cares a lot about baseball, they have a PS4, okay? It's not like there's millions of people sitting around on Xbox One begging for a baseball game. They don't exist. They're all buying MLB on PS4. So EA has to either go in and compete directly with MLB The Show, which is difficult, especially with a game that you've just built and spent a few years building, versus a game that's been able to continue its momentum over the last two generations of consoles. So I think when you look at, could MLB or could MVP Baseball return, I think, first of all, EA Access has to get onto everything. And then beyond that, you need new games to be part of EA Access. So you need a new tier where that can be possible. And then I think once you're to that point, I think it starts to make sense to look at, would this make money for EA? Because wouldn't it be interesting if they could compete with MLB The Show through a subscription service where, look, you don't have to pay anymore for, you're already paying for Battlefield, you're already paying for, you know, all for Star Wars, all these other EA games that we make, you're already paying for them. Why pay for another baseball game? Just join our service. You're going to get MVP Baseball also, you know? So it brings more people in that way. I just don't think we're there yet. I don't think they're going the traditional sense of developing a baseball game and releasing it and competing with the show and going on to Xbox, where there really isn't a wave of baseball fans that are going to buy it just because it's the only simulation baseball game on the console. I just don't think they're there. And I'm sure they would agree with that, because if they were there, they would have probably made the move for it a while ago if they thought they could make money there. So I think at this point, there's no reason to expect MVP Baseball to come back anytime soon. Don't read into that comment as meaning more than it was, which is, yeah, they love baseball. Of course they do. Like you said, Rich, they're not going to say, no, we don't want, there's a lot of sports we don't want. We're EA Sports and we only want football and soccer. You know?
Yeah, we don't want to grow, right? No. We don't want to add to things. We don't want to get, you know, more people and more revenue. We don't want to help our shareholders. No, we don't want any of that. We want to stay right where we are and not grow at all.
So that's where we are with that. So I just wanted to talk about it a little bit, because I saw some people get excited about it, but that's nothing new. It's just not new. That's not news at this point. But it's something to follow, because it is still a big name, and everybody would love to see another baseball game come back. We love Super Mega Baseball, but it's a totally different type of game. But I think Super Mega Baseball goes to show that there is interest in baseball that goes beyond just the show.
So, there's absolutely interest in baseball, and there's tremendous interest in baseball, and it doesn't have to be a hardcore sim baseball either. It's so fascinating. I love, you know, I know we talk about it, and we talk about it because it's interesting. I just love this continuing, ongoing transformation that the video game industry is going through. You know, I mean, I know people lament, and with good reason, on sort of how we've lost the past and how, you know, the patch culture and having to be online all the time, and they view that sort of negatively compared to, you know, the original PlayStation days or the old NES days, or even, you know, the more recent PS2 and original Xbox days. But man, there's so much more good stuff that we're getting from all this, from all the subscription services, and being able to just press a button and play any of hundreds of games at any moment in time. Whether you're the PlayStation Now person who's streaming it, or you're the Xbox Games Pass person who's downloading it, I was chatting over Twitter with good friend of the show, Mike Phillips, who won't be in our Madden League because he's a PlayStation and he prefers the streaming of PlayStation Now. And that's cool. I get that. I want to be playing if I can, and luckily I can, on the most powerful, the best looking version of the game if possible. And that happens to be the Xbox One X. And I prefer to download my games. That means I got to, of course, have a giant, 1 terabyte drive plugged into my, 1 terabyte drive that's already almost full because I just download everything I possibly can, right? There's just so many different options and so many different ways for people to play and different subscription services and the hardware manufacturers and the platform holders and the publishers and the developers. We're all trying to figure out how to be profitable and get our games in the most hands. I love it. I love the story. I love how some people are figuring it out and winning and other people are going in different ways. And there's multiple companies being successful in multiple ways. It's so fascinating. And the question of EA getting back into baseball touches on all of those things. You know what I mean? It's so cool. So interesting.
All right. So one final thing I thought we should talk about, Rich, because we've been a big supporter of discounts on video games,
whether yes, it be yes,
through the Best Buy Gamers Club Unlocked or Amazon Prime. For a few years now, they have been offering a major discount on Amazon Prime. It was 20%. On Best Buy, it was something similar, I believe, basically coming out to $48, both of them for new games. And so that gave us a whole new reason to actually pre-order beyond just being manipulated into pre-ordering, and then purchase more games, purchase games that maybe you wouldn't have got otherwise because you get the discount and it makes it worth it, or you're just saving money along the way. It's been great. Unfortunately, that dream has come to an end, Rich. Both Best Buy Gamers Club Unlocked died. It's been killed. And Amazon Prime is no longer going to offer the 20% discounts. Unfortunate. They say they're going to, with select titles, they're going to offer a $10 credit, which is great if you use Amazon a lot. That'll come in handy. That's basically $10
good
off.
Point.
But select games means it may not be the games that you end up buying. And I wonder, look, Amazon has had conflicts with whether it be Disney or in video games, certainly Sony.
Nintendo
and Sony. So a lot of times you couldn't even pre-order games on Amazon from those companies. And you see that with movies, actually, when you talk about Disney and Marvel and stuff. You can't pre-order Blu-rays off Amazon. It's the same in gaming. I don't know if MLB The Show even ever went up on the physical edition up on Amazon at any point. But others, I know Spider-Man was the same way, the upcoming Spider-Man game. So they've had those conflicts, and most people have assumed, we don't know for sure, but most people have assumed that was because of their discount, the 20% discount. So I wonder if it's going to change the relationships they have with publishers and whether we'll see all that come back to normal, because the credit isn't actually costing anybody anything except for Amazon just kind of giving you an incentive there. What are your thoughts, Rich? Because I know it's unfortunate to see these things go away, but we're also at a time where, as we were talking about with subscription services, I think we've been buying fewer games than we have in the past.
Oh, there's no doubt. I've been buying fewer games in the last year, especially the last year, but even the last couple, 2 or 3 years. I haven't been playing less games, by the way. No. I've just been buying less games. Personal and really what this is going to do, this is really going to put I'm just going to buy even less games now, and not not like sort of folding my arms, I'm going to buy less games. I'm telling you, you're the one who told me about this, or you alerted me to this Amazon Prime, the big discount. I've only been a Prime guy for a couple of years, maybe three. This is how I pretty any game that I did buy was through this, because how can you not want to save $13? Plus, you get it at your doorstep the day that it comes out. This was the only reason I basically haven't gone all digital. I can't think of other than like a used game, I will still go into GameStop, and every once in a while my son will find something like an old Nintendo game, you know, or a Wii U game or a Wii game or a 3DS game that we'll pick up and buy in there. But I haven't gone I can tell you the last physical game that I went into a GameStop or retail place of any kind, but I know it was a GameStop, and bought was Assassin's Creed Origins, and only because it was $20 off like 2 or 3 weeks after release. Mm-hmm. And I had seen such good reviews for it. And by the way, great game. Assassin's Creed Origins, great game. Again, I'm not big into those kind of games, or at least I thought I wasn't. But between that and Far Cry 5, Ubisoft nailed it with those two games. There was very few physical games I bought anymore. The ones that I did were through Amazon Prime. So them ending this, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting. In fact, once I saw you tweet this out or put it on Passapartout, or you tweeted the link to Passapartout about this, I immediately went to my Amazon thing and I pre-ordered Mario Party? The Mario Party game.
The 28th is when they officially shut it down. So anything you pre-order before then that has the discount active, you'll still get the discount on.
So I pre-ordered Mario Party, which is coming out soon, because I know I want to get that for my son probably for Christmas, and saw the discount for that. And so I got over the next couple of days, like, I don't know what other games I'm going to be getting this fall. Like, I'll probably get Spider-Man, because everyone's going to be getting Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. I'm going to get all of the EA games through EA Access, and then I'll just sort of pick. I'm going to buy Pro Evo, but I'm going to get that digitally, right? I'm definitely going to get that digitally. So I don't even know what games I would buy physically
Tomb Raider's on my list.
I'm not a Tomb Raider guy. I've tried. I played not the most recent one, but the one from a couple, 2 or 3 years ago, the AAA one, that I did not like that
one. Also, Rich, we don't need to buy Forza Horizon 4.
Right, because it's going to show up right on my Game Pass. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is going to, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at my shelf here in my office, which has all the consoles and a bunch of the games on it. And, you know, there's not those boxes. There's not going to be a whole lot more of those boxes getting added to. It's, you know, even the Switch, right? Like, I've bought many more of the games on the Switch. I bought the cartridges for, mostly because of the Amazon Prime discount. And with that going away, I'll probably wind up going all digital on the Switch as well, or close to it. So yeah, it's definitely gonna hit me, and I'm not a fan of it. I totally get it. I understand it. I don't like it, but I get where it's coming from.
All right. Well, Rich, we end on a somber note, I suppose.
But, it's not that somber.
No, it's not. But, so that'll do it this week. We will be back next week. Thank you, Mr. Rich Grisham. Thank you to me. I'm your host, Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre.
I love that. I love how you thank yourself now. That's I like that.
I hardly ever introduce myself. I always introduce other people. And then I often wonder, like, you know, if somebody listens that hasn't listened before, probably like, who is that guy that's been talking and been, you know, opining so much? Who is he?
If they don't know who you are by now, Brian, everybody knows who you are by now.
It's unfortunate. I apologize to all out there who do. But we will be back next week, where we'll be talking about probably Pro Evolution Soccer. We'll be talking about the NBA Live demo. Maybe we'll be talking about the something new with NBA 2K. A whole lot to come here in the next few weeks. It's going to be a busy time. So thank you, everyone out there, and take care till then.